In her new book, Cozy, a group of clever animals find an unusual but warm and furry home during Alaska's long winter. Jam Brett brings a lovable new character to life through this gorgeous tale of sharing, found families, and living in harmony. With over 42 million books in print, Jan Brett's art is universally recognized as being among the finest in children's books today. In the last 30 years, she has been celebrated for her well-known wintry tales like The Mitten, The Three Snow Bears, Gingerbread Baby, and many more. Again, the latest is Cozy, and she has a very cool event that is happening with the Oblong Books and Music Stores in Millerton and Rhinebeck, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Jan Brett back to the roundtable. How are you?
I'm great. I'm blushing, though. You said such nice things, and I love the way you described the book as a found family. That's a great catchword. I never heard it before.
Well, it is. It is a beautiful story that you tell. Let us first talk about this. Is normally for Jan Brett, and I don't think I'm telling tales out of school, but when a new book comes out, you get on a big old rock and roll tour bus.
Yep.
And you go from town to town and town to town, and you talk to kids and you read the book and you sign books. And obviously this year you can't do that. And that must be a little weird.
It's a little bit sad because I really work in a bubble. It's one of the few jobs where you're by yourself all the time. You know, my kids are grown up. And I really get a lot of energy from meeting the people that love books. And it's, you know, it's a world. It's a culture. And the teachers are so inspiring. You know, you'll get these teachers that come in with like a stack full of books they bought with their own money. And I, you know, what are you going to do with all these books? Oh, well, I have a library in my classroom. The kids can take them out. Well, what happens if you don't get them back? And they said, well, that probably means they really love that book. You know, they're just amazing. So that's a huge inspiration. And also, I meet the children one by one in line. And it's amazing the things that they will say. That it's just, it's almost like you see them, they're their best selves. Like a lot of times they'll tell me, well, I love Egyptology and make-believe maps. And then they'll tell me about all these maps that they've created, these little worlds that they're creating, going, now that one's going to be a writer.
Right.
You know, it's great to see the young people with all the imagination that they have inside them and looking at the future, that it's not about screen time. It's about this, you know, the human imagination, which is, you know, something that can be encouraged and flourish. And when I meet them, it makes me really happy.
So instead, one of the things that you're doing and with Oblong Books and many other bookstores across the country, you are offering books where you will sign and personalize them. They won't be able to see you, but they will be able to get the book. And the book will be out on October 20th.
Yeah, and usually on the book tour, if it's a big crowd, then a lot of times I'm just not able to personalize too much. But this time I will be personalizing everything, and I made a little handkerchief that's got Cozy on it. You know how you can get, what are they called? Bandana. You can get a bandana with national parks or stuff like that. And so it's going to have Cozy on it, and they'll get that and a poster. And then I do like a letter to kids. It's like I just publish it myself. It's full color. I'm just looking at it, and I realize that I've got now two typos that I missed. It hasn't gone out yet. I'm going to
You can fix those.
Lots of letters.
Sure. You can fix those.
No, I can't fix that. It's already the print.
Oh, all right. They're already printed.
I'm just going to look like a moron, but well. And so it has like just like fun facts. Like a fun fact would be, for example, I have the Wolverine comes along and he's fallen into an ice fall and he's got his coat is covered with ice balls. Well, that seemed like the perfect character to have the ice balls. But then when I went to Alaska and started going to some of the museums, and I found out that this fur, the one thing about it is it repels water. It can't get ice balls on it. So I had to use my artistic license. And also I have lots of Northern Lights, Aurora Borealis, in my book, because I needed lots of color, because all these Arctic animals are there either white or brown. And so my editor, art director, is going, can you put some color in your book? And I'm going, well, I love these colors. And they go, you got to have a color. I said, okay, Northern Lights. But the Northern Lights actually are in a band around Fairbanks, but where the muskox range was originally is a little bit further north, and there aren't as many Northern Lights there.
So
there's a special band.
I want to ask you about this musk ox farm in Palmer, Alaska. How did you find out about it? How did it go on your radar in the first place?
Well, it all started with this book that I had when I was a little kid that I saved. It was like a National Geographic book, Mammals of North America. And there's this fantastic painting of a musk ox. And I kept looking at it and going, wow, you know, it looks like it came out of the Pleistocene with the saber-toothed cat and the woolly mammoth. The creatures are just so amazing looking. So I just always had that image in my mind. And then my daughter moved to Alaska, and she said, Mom, you know, you've got to go to this farm, muskox farm. I go, what? There's a muskox farm? She said, yeah, they are trying to, well, it started in the 30s. To semi-domesticate the muskox so that they live, you know, in these big wild pastures. But then in the spring, they come in and they're gently combed. So they have to be herded a little bit. But they're pretty wild. And then the kiviet, which is the undercoat, is supposed to be the warmest, most valuable fiber in the world. And then the people, the northern peoples, which are people that have lived in Alaska for like 20,000, 10,000 years, they will knit these beautiful patterns and knit scarves and hats, and they do it in the wintertime when there's not as much else to do, no hunting and fishing for sure. And they will sell them back to, you know, people who want them. You can go on the internet and buy these. And I have a hat. I have mittens. Mm-hmm. I have just the fur that I stick in my mittens. But anyway, I got to go there. And the babies, the cutest baby animal in the world is a baby muskox. They are just so cute. And I got to see one. And I got to, I guess I'm talking a little bit too much.
Not at all. Well, I mean, just the cover of the book has all these animals under the fur of the musk ox.
Yes.
And that is adorable.
Yeah.
It seems
they have like a skirt that comes down. It's like a giant cape that goes all the way down to the ground. Their fur, their fiber. It's like the upper hair or the outer hair is like swings. It's like soft and silky, and then it's the thick kiviet that's underneath. If you can picture it, if you have a husky dog, you would know. There's the guard hairs, and then there's the thick understuff.
And when you're with these animals, do you think immediately, oh man, I can this. Does the book start to assemble itself, or is there a process after that where you say, okay, now I have to really sit down and figure out how to include the muskox?
Yeah. You know, it was one of those books that it was just like a little mind explosion. I just could figure it out. You know, it's funny, one of the reviews said, oh, Jan Brett just recreated the mitten. And I'm going like, why? The mitten was like 30 years ago. But it is a cumulative story where one animal gets in and another animal gets in. But the twist of it is that they all have to kind of get along together in order to, you know, be in the winter.
Right.
And I guess there's that kind of feeling in Alaska that you kind of brace for the winter. And they always say, you know, you've got to get outside, you've got to have activities, because if you get, you can get cabin fever. But so these guys do get cabin fever kind of by the end, but luckily spring comes along. And spring in Alaska is very beautiful because it's the daylight just makes everything grow, and there's flowers and butterflies and birds and mosquitoes. But it's, I don't know, this muskox farm, and the people are so nice up there. But you want to hear about what happened when I wanted to get up close and personal with the muskox?
Yeah, how did that go?
Well, I noticed that the two people that ran the place were really tall. Like, one guy was like 6'3", and the woman was probably 6 feet. And we went and said, well, we're going to go and see Little Man. And he was bottle fed because something had happened to his mother. And he was now 25, and he was like more in the sedentary part of his life. And we're going to go and see him because I want to smell it, because they say musk ox and you think it's going to smell bad. And I'd seen the musk ox before a couple of times and they did not smell. And so I said, this time I want to get really close and give it a good sniff and that ruff of fluffy fur. And there's this big cattle fence, and they go, how are you climbing fences? I go, I'm great at climbing fences. And I climb the fence, and I go, I wonder why they asked that. So we go towards Little Man, and it's the huge pasture, but it all had the bulls. So there's one bull. He like was like a cartoon bull. He was like stomping his feet and breathing out like hot air coming out of his nostrils that you could see, and lowering his head and making these noises. And then he charges us like going a million miles an hour. And what they do is, in order to and this was in the winter time, so it was like a little bit past their season where they're competing for females, and that is when they like rush at each other really, really fast and butt this big horn boss, which is very thick right above on their foreheads. And sometimes they even die from it because they crack that huge boss. And it's really sad when that happens, but it doesn't happen very often. And so that both the people make themselves look like stars with their arms and their legs widespread. And they just said, Jan, just don't run. I go like, oh, don't worry, I'm not going to run. and so the bull like does this like stop like this, and then goes off like, oh well, pretend I didn't do that. And then this happened three times until we get to Little Man, and I'm like palpitating. And we get to Little Man, and Little Man was very sweet, and I got to smell him, and he smelled really good, and pat him, and got my picture taken with him. And this is only done if you're writing a book about muskox. So the regular tourists don't get to do it.
Right.
So I was really feeling very privileged and very glad I was an author. It was one of the perks. Then we went back, and we had the same thing happen on the way back. But the people, they have to herd them in order to get the – they know all their wily ways. So I felt very comfortable with it.
There's a great video of you on your –
good story.
Yeah, there's a great video of you on your Facebook page of going to see them and being brought out to them. But it was snowy then too, right? I mean, it was snowing when that happened.
I've been there in the fall and the spring. They have running with the bulls at this muskox farm. It's a nonprofit, so they are they were shot out in like the 1800s because their fur was so warm. This was during the time that there was a lot of fur trading, and then they were just so desirable that they said, "Oh, well, let's just shoot them," because what they do is their main enemy is a wolf. So what they do is they'd get in a circle, put the babies in the middle, and then their horns would just be on the outside of the circle. So picture maybe 12 musk ox. That would be a family, a decent family group. The babies would be in the middle. And then so the wolves could not get through this little, they call it a rosette. One of the biologists called it a rosette. And but now that people come along, they're like sitting ducks. Well, that would be a wrong metaphor, but they would be very easy to kill, so that they were completely shot out to extinction in those days. And so a person, John Teal, went to Greenland and got 37, I think, and repopulated Canada and Alaska with these like little starter herds, and they completely thrived and they were protected. Now I think you can hunt them in certain places and they're doing really well. And the muskox farm is kind of monitors the herd, and they're always like making sure that their blood levels don't have too much, what I call it, the scaredy cat hormone, the one that means that they're stressed. Then they check and make sure that they're healthy and their hooves are right and they're getting the right nutrients and stuff like that. So they kind of are almost an experimental station. There's also one at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks. I went there too to see their herd. And then there's a wild population, I think, on Nunavik Island, and there's some on the northern islands in Canada and Alaska too, that are just wild. They just like live there, and wolves eat them, and but they're pretty good at protecting themselves for all predators except for people.
When you experience something like that and you write about it, and I assume it stays with you for a while, but it as I mentioned in the introduction, you're so well known for these wintry tales. Do you tend to think that way when you think of a subject for a book?
I don't know. I'm always kind of fishing for ideas all the time, and I always say, you know, to children that are wanting to write stories, so it's almost like seeing a shooting star, that you kind of, certain nights you can look out and think, well, maybe this would be a good night to go, like, lie out on the dock and see if you can see any shooting stars, or there's a meteor shower. So you kind of, like, go places where you think that there might be some sort of inspiration. But I think that's you're always on a fishing expedition all the time, trying to think of that great idea, because it has to capture your interest for a year of like every day working for it, because they take a long time to do the books, you know, lots of hours because of my detailed style.
Right.
And so I would say that I'm always worried about not having a good one. I can always fall back into a favorite, like right now I'm doing the Nutcracker, which I've always wanted to do. And it does have snow in it. But believe it or not, about 50% of my books have snow and 50% don't. It's just that people like the books that have the snow. And I think it's because, you know, my style is so busy that the snow kind of creates like a foil for it. So you got this white, and then the colors stand out and the characters stand out. So it's kind of like a little bit of a helper for me, the snow. Gives a little bit of, you know, like in music, they say, don't just listen to the music, listen to the silences in the music too, because that makes the music come alive. And that's kind of maybe what snow does. I don't know. I've always loved snow. What I like about snow is it creates another world. And that kind of brings me back to the beginning where I was saying that that's what I miss about going on this book tour, is that I love to see this human way we think of creating a world. And it's something that all cultures do. Even when I did a book about prehistoric man one time, and they had this great exhibit at the Museum of Natural History in New York, and it had this artwork from like 40,000 years ago, and it was storytelling back then, and it just made me feel so human, I guess, and hopeful about the future, because I guess I always worry that electronics are going to take over.
One of the things that I always think about, especially with your books, is that because I've seen how excited kids get to see you and to react to the work and talk with you, and I'm the kid of a librarian. My mom was a librarian, and so I just vividly remember those times of going into the library and picking out children's books. And of what we were going to read and what was going to be read to us and what we could read ourselves. What have you thought, I assume you have, but thought about what makes a book special, of what it is that a child will latch onto, whether it's yours or another book, of what makes it special to a kid, of something that I mean, I can think of the, you know, top 10 books from when I was a kid 50 years ago. So you just think of that, of how momentous it is at the time.
Well, you know what? I have a shortcut. What I do is I think if I have a talent, it's that I can remember what it was like to be six. I just remember saying to myself, boy, when I grow up, I knew I wanted to be an illustrator. I'm going to do this, or I'm not going to do this. And so I think that, you know, they always say about people having a muse, and Stephen King famously, he has a great book about writing, by the way. I don't know if you've read it.
On writing,
it's really a good one. And he says, oh, my muse is like six guys down in the basement drinking beer and playing cards. Well, my muse is my six-year-old self on my shoulder going, nah, nah, or oh, yeah, yeah, do that, or ooh, have this. And it's like a shortcut. I just can remember what it was like, because my mother wasn't a librarian, but she loved to read and loved books. And so I had tons of books that I would look at. We'd go to the library. We had the coolest library in our town, and you could take out 12 books, and you had 2 weeks. And my friend, best friend Marla, and I would ride our bikes all the time down to the library and put 6 on one side of our bike and 6 on the other and get our books. Of course, we only read horse books, but luckily they had a little horse on the spine. So we cleaned out the library of every horse book, believe me, in a very short order. But I just remember that the way I felt when I was that age, and that's just the way I work. I don't really – I'm a little bit afraid to be too – to take things apart and try to figure out. Like, people always say, oh, do you have a focus group? And I go, oh, no, that's for movies. They do that in movies. With me, it's just like, what do I think would look, you know, cool? You know, and I just have that, like, little compass or muse or whatever that is just ingrained in me. And it's no more complicated than that. And I think everybody has that. I think it may be that their mode of, well, you're a talker, so you probably have little nuances in your voice that you don't even know that you're doing, but it somehow has worked for you, and so you keep doing it and maybe polish a little bit, and then that's the way it works for me.
Well, the new book, which is absolutely beautiful, is Cozy, and it is out. And you are doing a wonderful thing for local bookstores, and Oblong Books and Music is one of the stores that you are working with, and we're thrilled that it's in our region, and we've done so many, they've been such wonderful friends of ours for so long. And so the first 275 copies, you can get your copy signed and personalized by Jan Brett just in time for the holidays. And as Jan mentioned, all kinds of cool things too, neat swag that goes along with it. So
yeah, that's what they call it, swag.
Very neat opportunity. It's a wonderful thing to do, especially now since you can't go out traveling, but you can, now you'll just be signing at home.
Yep, and the publisher has been great in that they've released the book way back in March, and I read it on the internet, which they never would allow before, but because of the situation with the pandemic, I can read it, and I do all the weather sounds, like the whoosh of the blizzard, and you get to hear the muskox voice and all the voices of all the animals. And so there's like a wolverine, a snowy owl, there's lemmings. And so if you have a child that loves like to look at the different kinds of animals that live in the world, and they want to hone in on the Arctic animals, it's kind of a fun one to do. And I think they'll think it's kind of funny too. It's got a little bit of humor. Is always the nut that I always try to crack, because I always think I'm born without a sense of humor. but this book I kind of like a little bit stuck my toe in the water and made it kind of funny too.
Well, it is, and it's just wonderful. The new book is Cozy, and you can find out more about getting it signed and personalized by going to oblongbooks.com.
Yes.
Oblongbooks.com.
Wonderful.
Jan Brett, you're the best. Thank you so much for being with us. It's always a pleasure speaking to you. What a great pleasure.
Oh, thank you, Joe. Okay. Well, thank you again. It was great talking with you.
Be well. Thank you. Again, the name of the new book is Cozy by Jan Brett. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.